I love to do the fun stuff that we always do.
Playing.
Hanging out with my friends and like learning with them.
Being downstairs.
The goodie bags.
The kids thing.
When we go downstairs and we play games.
The videos.
Everything.
That Jesus loves me.
Songs.
That God loves us no matter what.
Esther.
God is Jesus and Jesus is God. And that Jesus is like the human form of God that was on earth.
I don't know.
To love God.
That God and Jesus are good.
I love church.
I love my church.
I love my church.
I love my church.
And kids.
I love my church.
I love church.
I love my church.
I love my church.
I love my church.
I love my church.
What a beautiful way that was to start our worship together, wasn't it? Thank you, Allie, and thank you, children, for sharing about our church. Much appreciate that. Well, welcome, and I welcome each of you who are here with us in person and those that are worshiping with us online. Grateful that each one of you are with us today. At Anderson First, we make disciples for Jesus Christ by following our pathway. Living our faith, nurturing families, serving our communities. I am Reverend Corrine Boroff. This morning, helping me and assisting me in leading worship today will be Tim and Cheryl Monier, Allie Hall, Kathy Keene, Ryan Falkenberry, and our music will be by our talented Wesley Bells, directed by Sarah Taylor. At our Welcome Center, we have much that you can become involved in, become informed about, and also be able to participate in. Joy Lunch, there's information there about the next Joy Lunch that is coming up. We have a sign-up to volunteer for the egg hunt, and that sign-up is online. If you need assistance doing that, please see Allie Hall. She'll be able to assist you. Connect at First. This is an exciting opportunity for anyone who's relatively new to the church or anyone that just wants to kind of feel reconnected to the church. You are invited to lunch next Sunday at 11:30 in the North-South Parlor. We will have conversation about this church, about what's going on in the denomination, and I have opened it up and said that I am willing to answer any question that you want to ask. So there's an opportunity for all kinds of sharing and learning. Also, the schedule for a new member class will be made available to folks as well. So invite you to let me know if you're planning to attend so I can make sure to have plenty of food. Our Easter lilies can now be ordered. There's information there. They're also available online. You can send in who you're honoring or who you want to remember and then offer the pay through the online service as well, or can do that in person. The forms are available. There is a correction. There is no Lenten breakfast on March 30th. You will be here kind of by yourself if you come and hungry. So no Lenten breakfast on Saturday, March 30th. We are hosting the Lenten breakfast on the 23rd, and all of you are welcome to come to that. That begins at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning on the 23rd. Let us now stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. As you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship. Thank you.
At about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?
As we extinguish this light, we remember those who feel alone or abandoned in our world.
God of mercy, we pray for those who are troubled by thoughts of fear, sickness, or anxiety, for those living with depression, and those who feel lonesome. Awaken in us a spirit of Christian love and support for them in their time of need. We ask this prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us stand together for our call to worship and our opening hymn. Children of God, welcome. Welcome to this place of love and grace. Welcome to this place of hope and perseverance. God invites all of us to be a part of the beloved community. God invites all of us to share in the good news. We are welcome just as we are. We are loved just as we are. In gratitude for all this, let us worship God.
Good morning. I'd like to invite all the children down for our children's moment. Guys, welcome. So you notice that I don't have a bag today. And last week, we started off a new series called no limits. And we are going to be learning the simple truth that I am loved. And you know why I didn't need my bag today? Because I've got what I need for my children's moment right here. Do you know what this is? It's a hand. Now, did you know that there are no two hands just alike? Even my own hands, they're all different. They've got different lines. They've got different scars or different freckles. All of our hands are different. Look, my hand is different than yours. Some hands are big. Some are small. Some have long fingers. Some have short fingers. You do. You have your really cool beauty mark right there. All of our hands are different. And that is because we're all different. High five. We're all different. None of us are exactly the same. But God's love is for everyone. It's not just for me. It's not just for you. It's for everyone. And so that's what we're going to go downstairs and talk about today. A little bit more about God's love. All right, let's go, guys.
Good morning. We in this sanctuary and those listening from home are a like-minded group of people who come together to worship God. We come to listen, to learn, to strengthen ourselves, to live the way God created us to live. We are friends, we are neighbors. We are families. We are connected. God teaches us to love and care for each other, and we at First Church have joined together in a spiritual family for support and encouragement. When one of us grieves, we all grieve. When one of us is honored, we all rejoice because we are connected. Our church has a vast teamwork of you that shows hospitality to everyone who comes through our doors. Ushers, greeters, cafe teams, Food at First, and our other outreach programs are visible signs of hospitality. Sometimes it's a call to the church office from one of you because one of your friends here has a blessing in his or her family, or perhaps facing something not quite so pleasant, and you want to reach out with a kindness. Hospitality comes in many opportunities. Our ushers and greeters are here, very visible. Our coffee hour, our Food at First, our meals, all of our outreach. Sometimes there are opportunities to be hospitable that are not quite as obvious. In the last 2 weeks, this half form that's pink has been circulating among the congregation. Please take a moment, if you haven't done that yet, to fill it out, to update our database of our members of this congregation. This is a form of hospitality when you call the office and ask for someone's phone number, email. You want to reach out and show your loving care to each other. It is in caring for each other that opens up our hearts with God's lesson to us, care for each other, care for those that come into our doors and talking to us. And this opens our hearts to service to our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord God of all, accept our offering of money this day, but also the offering of our lives. Help us to live simply, generously, and courageously, that our lives may point to you. Strengthen our faith and help us to see that our hospitality to others brings blessings to us and our community. Amen.
Please join me in prayer. God of grace, this Lent we journey in the desert with you again to remember our story of faith and our connection to each other. We are a joyful people, a grateful for family, for opportunities to serve each other, and for spring coming soon. But we are also an anxious people, a fearful people, a grieving people, because during Lent we are beginning to see ourselves as God sees us. We are thirsty, we are hungry, we need your water that heals and comforts. We long for the waters of hope, waters of welcome. We be filled that we can then show your fruit in our lives, the fruit of commitment and inspiration. We pray for people waiting in actual deserts, deserts of water due to flooding, and deserts of sand due to war or famine. These people are searching for new places to call home as they grieve the homes they were forced to leave behind. May new community welcome them. Help us to remember Jesus' ministry as bringing together all people, calling us to sit down at the same table and be one human family. May we live into that vision he gave us by saying together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" he exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans cannot and reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants. Just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people who are born of the Spirit." "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see what they are doing, what God wants. This is God's word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
$181,000 spas in the world, and that number is rising. Since COVID, since all of that had to be shut down, they've just resurged. And the plug for a spa is that they will make you feel like a new person. And there are some very interesting ways they do that. Now, the United States is one of the countries in the world that has the most spas of any other place in the world collectively, and we have some very exotic ways to experience that feeling like a brand new person. And one of those, for example, is out of Hawaii, there are lava rock massages. I'm not sure how big the rocks are, but it sounds interesting. In Arizona, there is sage and sweetgrass rubs that you can have. But my favorite, one I think would be fun to try, is in Hershey, Pennsylvania, there is a chocolate fondue wrap. Doesn't that sound fun? So, there's a lot of different ways. And we are psychologists spend a whole lot of time telling us how we can feel better about ourselves, how we can remake ourselves. And I got tickled with an article that I read by a reputable psychological magazine, a publishment, and in that article, they said, here are 10 things that we are sure will help you to feel like a new person. And in that, they said, spend a significant amount of time by yourself. Spend time with those that you love and surround yourself with people that are actually doing things. So you do both, right? Or all of that. Spend time outside enjoying nature. Spend time watching TV and reading a book. And it went on and on, and all those things just seemed to kind of counteract one another. And I came to the conclusion that basically, if you're doing the same thing over and over and over in your life and you're feeling bad about yourself, try something new, is basically what they were saying. So that is one of the things that we have become obsessed about. And we like to spend time and energy and even money to figure it out. Did Nicodemus come to Jesus that night to feel better? We don't know. We're not sure why Nicodemus came. He obviously did not want to be seen. That would have been a horribly embarrassing moment for Nicodemus to actually be seen having a private conversation with Jesus. So who is this Nicodemus, and why is that significant? Well, you see, Nicodemus in John, the Gospel of John, tells us that Nicodemus is the ruler of the Jews, which means that he is a member of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is the most powerful and the most influential of all of the political and religious structures for Judaism. So he had power as a member of the Sanhedrin. You may recognize that word, Sanhedrin, as something that we're going to hear on Good Friday, because it's the Sanhedrin that threw together that shabby trial for Jesus that sent him off to Pontius Pilate and eventually was responsible for Jesus' crucifixion. That's the group that Nicodemus is a part of. This story that brings Nicodemus to Jesus, this in John's gospel, this is near the beginning. It's not near the crucifixion yet. It's near the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus has only done two significant things that John has recorded. First of all, he changed water to wine at the wedding in Canaan. And then the second time is what we heard last week about Jesus being in the temple and throwing out the animals and the money changers. Nicodemus would have witnessed that event prior to him coming to Jesus. So maybe his seeking to have a conversation with Jesus was trying to figure that out. Because you see, Jesus would have been in the temple. He was also a Pharisee. And just kind of a Cliff Notes version of what is a Pharisee is, the Pharisees were the conservative religious leaders of the day. And the Sadducees then, by contrast, were the liberals of the day. And they both worked in the temple. The Pharisees, the word, the Greek word Pharisee, literally means separated. These were the separatists. They worked very hard. So Nicodemus was a part of this. He worked very hard to separate out the Jewish people, to bring them in and make them pure, to have a pure state of Israel. And everybody else, just stay away. Thank you very much. They were separatists. And the very important reason they did that was because they truly believed that that was a part of bringing in the kingdom of God. And I'll touch more on that in a minute. Nicodemus was also one of the greatest and most respected and well-known teachers of his day. So this was a very important person, way more important than Jesus was at that time, way more well-known in Israel than Jesus was. And yet he was coming to Jesus. His first comments to Jesus was in praise of Jesus Christ. He recognized and gave validation to the miracles that Jesus had been performing. Now, obviously, not many yet. John just simply says Jesus had been doing other miracles. So some things had been happening. John just doesn't tell us what they are. And he acknowledges that. And right off the bat, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, if you are not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." Whoa. That's kind of a slap in the face. Very much so for a Pharisee. Because you see, the Pharisees did believe that they were separating out God's people and that they had to get them in line. The Pharisees had become very legalistic. and very ritualistic. And tradition had become their priority. So if they got everybody just doing the right thing at the right time, they truly believed that the kingdom of God would come here and now if everybody in Judaism would just get their act together all at the same time, boom, kingdom of God. That's what they were working for. That's why they were so rigid and strict and ugly with Jesus. Because Jesus was proclaiming something very different. Jesus wasn't there to align himself with the Judaism of the day. He was there to completely tear it apart and rebuild. Kind of like there was a person who purchased a property. The property had been standing empty and idle for a very, very long time. And when the purchaser was interested in that, the owner said, you know, I can do this to fix it up, and I'll be glad to put on a new roof and just do some cosmetic things for you if that'll close the deal. And the buyer said, oh, no, I want the property. I want the space. I'm going to tear it down and rebuild something new. When Jesus calls us, when Scripture says that we are to be crucified with him, that means that we are to be torn down spiritually and allow God to rebuild us anew. We are to be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand. Jesus tried to explain in another way. You see, being reborn wasn't a total mystery, but they used it in a very different context in Judaism in the day. So Jesus said then, born of the water and spirit. Well, he still didn't get that one either. He didn't understand that Jesus was saying that the kingdom of God can only be understood through the power of the Holy Spirit when you are completely remade the way God has intended you to be. Because you see, we put up constructs in ourselves. We put up little boxes and walls and doors that lock and close, or God wouldn't have any of those things in our life. We as human beings have difficulty actually experiencing our entire world around us the way it's created. For example, we can only see 30% of the sun's range of light. Only 30% of it. There are other animals in the world that can sense a much broader spectrum of light. We can only experience 1/70th of the electromagnetic field around us. Now, electromagnetic field, in case you wonder, that's like our TVs, our microwaves, those are electromagnetic. We can only perceive and understand 1/70th of that. Not very much of what's around us. We cannot perceive it. Bats experience, I mean, they can locate, if you've ever seen a bat, they fly very rapidly, and they can locate, using their sonar, an insect as they're rapidly flying through the sky. We can't do that. We can't hear things that certain animals hear. We don't have the sense of smell of even our dog that we share our home with. On a spiritual level, we can't perceive.
We can't even begin to perceive what God has going on all around us without first being rebuilt or reborn by God. We miss it. And that's what Jesus was trying to explain to Nicodemus. We miss out on so much of what God is doing around us without the ears and the eyes and the senses in our spirits to see and recognize that's God at work. That's the Holy Spirit right here, right now. So Jesus was teaching Nicodemus many things. One, that the kingdom of God is received when you are reborn, born again. Another term to use, allowing God to take down what we have constructed within us and begin brand new. And also, Jesus was teaching that Jesus is not a man sent by God, but God who comes to us as a man. Something that's hard to grasp day in and day out as a Christian. And it takes that rebirth to even be able to grasp it just a bit, to understand God in our midst. Jesus was also teaching Nicodemus and us that salvation is for all. The very familiar, for God so loved the world. That was a real difficult one for Nicodemus to hear, because they truly believed that God only loved the Jews. And Jesus is saying, no, God's love is for everybody. And that was God's priority, was love, not condemnation, but salvation, not judgment. Those things come, judgment, condemnation, only because we miss out. We say no. But God's priority is to love us. That's what God is here to do. So Nicodemus's process, it truly was a process. We don't know. Just in the telling of this story, he just disappears. There's no let's talk later, I've got to get going. He's just gone. Into the night, just like he arrived. We don't know what Nicodemus decides. But we do know that the very same thing that Jesus was teaching Nicodemus, Jesus teaches to us. That it's not our doing that'll bring about the kingdom of God. It's not when we get our ducks in a row, not when we do it right. It's when we allow God to give us new birth. And that may have to happen over and over and over. I've been asked, why do we keep celebrating Lent? Don't we get it right the first time we go through this last year? But no. We keep putting things, we keep putting obstacles up in our lives. And God has to begin again. So my prayer for you is that as you go through this Lent, don't be like the others who just take the feel-good route to Easter. I mean, they bounce from Palm Sunday. They don't observe Lent at all. There is no preparing for Easter. And during this Holy Week that will be coming up, we have Palm Sunday, and they leap from Palm Sunday to Easter, and those are two really good feel-good days, right? You can really feel good about being a Christian on those days. But Jesus wasn't in the let me make you feel good business. Jesus really wasn't even in the remodeling business. He was in the rebuild and calls us to be reborn in Him day in and day out, year after year. And during this process of Lent, we are preparing ourselves not to just say yes. Hopefully that has happened. But we are preparing ourselves to actually acknowledge those places in our lives where we've put up those obstacles. Because if we don't recognize it, we're just going to keep doing it over and over again. And so examine yourself. Where is God calling you to be reborn? Amen. May we live with the joy of the Spirit who sees the good, the real, the true within us and helps bring us to God, into God's realm. May we be born again and again as God's people, always more deeply into our faith.
Thank you.
Let us stand to receive the benediction. Close with the words from a familiar hymn, "Are Ye Able?" "Are ye able," asked the Master, "to be crucified with me?" Lord, we are able. Remold us, make us like thy divine. Amen.